Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mike's right. Weather is depressing. Cannot lie about that. It's been cloudy and rainy. And the rain, go away. It's supposed to rain all week. I'm like, I know. We're going to get through it. But I'm with you, man. You said that, and I'm like, looking out here, it feels like what? We're living in Seattle?
Yeah, it's just, and this is, you know, it's just kind of like that mid-Atlantic weather. If you grew up in, like, where Chris grew up in Jersey, or I grew up in Long Island, this is what it's like much of the winter. Just kind of bleh and overcast. And I just want sunshine. You know, Atlanta, you know, birds are singing, sun is shining, everyone's out having fun. This, I come in the office, everybody's kind of mopey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys feeling mopey today? You look mopey. What's going on? I detect some mopiness.
That's a good word, too, by the way. Mopey.
Yeah, I'm not calling you a mope, but I mean, there's a little bit of mopiness going on. What's wrong, Bo? What's wrong?
Who said anything's wrong? See, you got to stop. You got to stop projecting on the people. I'm just sitting here listening to my favorite show, which is happens to be the show that I run.
I'm glad, doing my job. Glad we're your favorite show.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I just sometimes I feel when I come in the office, I feel like Mr. Rourke on Fantasy Island. Smiles, everyone, smile.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Look. Not to take a shot, because it's not. But
too late.
Not everyone wants to come here. Because that's how you walk in the office.
I walk in.
I handle my business calm, coolly, and collect, and I just keep going. You go around, no, and that's okay. That's who you are. We're different. We're not all you. It's okay.
I'm happy and I'm having fun. So anyone else will be having fun and happy. I say they're mopey.
I was gonna say, yeah.
Now you're name calling. Now we're gonna get in a fight because now you're projecting to me about how you think we feel.
See,
Chris,
now,
are you mopey?
And now he's yelling. See, now he's angry.
I feel great.
Now he's mopey and angry. It's two things in one.
Well, and then by the way, this is all your actions. See, your actions have repercussions, Michael. Mm-hmm.
Chris hasn't answered. How do you feel, Chris? By the way. Yes. Thank you, Chris. All right. We hope you don't feel mopey.
Hope you guys are having an attitude adjustment today, everybody. But no, Chris, Squid's right. I walk around the world like, doo-doo-doo. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Doing good? Okay.
You know, listen, it starts with attitude. That's even when it's mopey outside.
I know.
All right.
Peptide treatments from ATL Live Well help well, too.
Huh? Better living through chemistry. Get on it. Feel better about yourself.
That's true. That's true. All right. It's Dukes and Bill. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons hire their new defensive coordinator. His name's Ryan Nielsen. Over the weekend, if you missed it, and I'm going to read this verbatim because part of it is kind of cool, then part of it's not. But Cam Jordan, who I've told you guys for the last 4 years, has been the best defensive lineman on that Saints defensive line. It is not Marcus Davenport, who you know how I feel about. But Cam tweeted this out, Cam Jordan, saying Ryan Nielsen, defensive coordinator, Ryan to defensive coordinator was inevitable. Top-tier defensive line coach in terms of developing pass rush, emphasizing technique on the run, and gap integrity. This is what Cam Jordan tweeted. And then he went on at the bottom to say, wish him the semi-best as he willingly went to the Falcons. Now, that's the Saints-Falcons hate and this, you know, this rivalry you have. So he's being tongue-in-cheek, but wish him the semi-best as he willingly went to the Falcons. Happy-ish for him. He didn't have to say anything.
No.
But Cam Jordan's telling us this dude knows what he's doing. And he's helped him. He helped Cam become an all-pro defensive lineman 2017. He's helped other guys. Now, he hadn't necessarily helped Marcus Davenport because he's been hurt a lot since he's been there. But at the end of the day, when you talk about what he did as the Saints defensive coordinator or the Saints defensive line coach, Mike, in the 6 seasons he was there, the Saints were really good. They ranked third in total sacks between 2017 and 2022. What's the thing we don't do? We don't sack the quarterback.
Nope.
So 21 sacks. We were 31st in the league. Grady had 6. Zoe Carter had 4. Ebba Katie had 2.5. That's about it, guys. I mean, so this is an area that I'm hoping, Mike, through the draft, through free agency, that we're going to get a lot better at. But this is a ringing endorsement from Cam Jordan, who didn't have to say anything.
No, and look, he's been our nemesis. You pointed it out. And you look at the stats, and there's a number. It's not just about getting sacks and pressures on the quarterback. Their run defense numbers have been really elite, the Saints, as long as he's been a part of that defense. So that's something to look at. And I know that with Dean Pease going, unfortunately, the Falcons moving on from a bunch of position coaches on the defense, linebackers coach, D-line, all those guys moving on, which is to be anticipated. And this is now Nielsen. So, again, I don't know enough about the guy. I know there was a lot of negativity on Friday at 6:30. A lot of Falcon fans going, this is uncompelling, because you know that Steve Wilks is a brand. Maybe Steve Wilks gets another crack at head coach.
Yeah.
I know that there was Brian Flores, who built a really good defense and is a good defensive mind from his time in New England, what he did down in Miami. But this guy, I don't know enough. All I can look at are the stats and the numbers, and what Cam Jordan said are accurate. And hopefully he'll do that with our younger people and more guys we're going to bring in, whether through free agency or the draft.
Now, if you bear with me, just for a second, the Saints' window was 17 to around 20, okay? 2017, they went 11-5. The next year, they went 13-3. The next year, they went 13-3. The next year, they went 12-4. That was 2020. That's their window. And, Mike, they didn't win a Super Bowl. They got close. Some people say they got cheated. Mm-hmm. But those 4 years, Cam Jordan had 13 sacks, 12 sacks, 15.5 sacks, 7.5 sacks, 2021, 12.5 sacks. There was only 1 year in 2021 where Marcus Davenport had 9 sacks. Mm-hmm. He's never been a double-digit sack guy, not one time. And they gave up their entire draft to get him. In 2019, he had 4. 2020, he was hurt. A guy named Trey Hendrickson stepped in, and he got 13.5 sacks. He played so damn well, he went to Cincinnati and signed a big deal. The next year, Davenport comes back. 2021, he has 9 sacks. That's the most he's ever had. He's not a difference maker. So when we talk about free agency, and oh, by the way, word on the street is it's going to cost you $15 to $20 million to bring him in here if you're interested. Mm. I am not interested. And by the way, if you're going to tell me, well, this guy's going to make him better, this guy's been with him.
Yeah. Again, he's been around better talent than he's going to come to, barring what we may do in free agency, alongside of him. You know, if you put him next to Daron Payne, okay, that's something I might be interested in, along with Grady Jarrett. But, yeah, it's – And it's not because you're prisoner of the moment on this. You're right.
Facts.
Bobby Hebert has talked about his desire. Bobby Hebert has talked about him being a prima donna. Again, Bobby's around this team every darn day. And this was also the big thing. They moved up. They traded 3 draft picks to get this guy. In the final analysis, it's not certainly been worth it, because you nailed it. In the last 2 years that they had the good Drew Brees before his arm kind of conked out, they needed something to put them over the top, and this was not the piece.
So in that 5-year period, Cam Jordan, who's been the dog on that defensive line, had 16.5 sacks. He had 21.5 in a 5-year period. He's not a dog. And that's why I don't want Marcus Davenport. Chris, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike, we talked about some of these coaching moves. You said you had one for me in the NFL Blitz. What's going on?
Yeah, the Chargers are hiring Kellen Moore as their new offensive coordinator. Mike McCarthy, by the way, is going to be taking over the play calling for the Cowboys, which might be good news for the teams in the NFC East. But Kellen Moore, now, the stats went up with the Cowboys. He's 33. He played quarterback in the league. But I got to be honest with you. If I'm Herbert, I just Sean Payton to the Chargers was something I always thought made a lot of sense, but they're sticking with their coach, with Brandon Staley. But what do you think of Kellen Moore now working with Justin Herbert? Is he going – now, is Dak just so inconsistent that this guy's going to be a better fit? Everyone was going bananas about Kellen Moore, about what a big hot property he was. And the best he can do is OC with the Chargers.
Yeah, because he doesn't get a head coaching nod. Mike, two things. One, Cowboys had to do something. I spent a lot of time this weekend talking about you have to do something to spark Dak. That means change. So they made all these changes around the defensive side of the football, but they got rid of 6 guys. But they didn't really do anything offensively. This was the next step. Now, some people will say, okay, if you're Mike McCarthy, screw it. You know next year if you don't get there, you're done. So take the play calling duties over and, you know, die on that hill. At least you said, hey, I did it my way. I don't know if that's how McCarthy's thinking about it. But remember, the Cowboys had the 4th best scoring offense in the league. It's not like they didn't score points. They didn't score in any playoffs,
right.
But they had a team that was putting up points. The Dak issue is he reverted back to some of those old bad habits, Mike. And obviously, McCarthy thought that this is a guy that couldn't fix it, and he needs to spark Dak in a different way. I don't know if it works. As far as him going to the Chargers, I'm not impressed. I'm not excited about that either. I think this is just a hire to kind of save Brandon Staley, to be honest with you.
Joe Lombardi got fired. This team is one of the worst rushing teams in the NFL. They don't run the football at all. We saw that when they played us. They slipped from 474 points to 391 this year. And I mentioned the rushing, 30th in the NFL in rushing. So that's something that they'll try to address through the draft. And I just think Staley's dead man walking. No one really believes in him as the guy. This is one. I'm a Herbert guy. I thought Peyton going to L.A. would have been a thing, but they can't because the coach is still there, and this is not compelling.
I still continue to say Herbert is being held back by his coach.
Agreed.
And you know, we joke around with Bo. Bo, what's the name? What did you call him? Check down what?
Check down Herbie.
And I joke with Bo because I'm like, stop it. It's the truth. He's holding him back. We'll see if this
fastest
does anything.
To 14,000 yards beating Peyton's record.
Oh, yeah. We'll see if this does anything for the Chargers. Meanwhile, Vic Fangio's headed to Miami as the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins. Fangio was 19-30 in three seasons as the head coach after being hired in 2019 of the Broncos. And then you guys know they've moved on, fired him, hired Nathaniel Hackett. That was a disaster. Now they're looking for their new head coach. But I don't think anybody in the league, Mike, debates Fangio's defensive prowess, is knowing what he's doing. So if you like the talent with the Dolphins defensively, this should be a better defense under Vic Fangio.
Right. Everyone's got their own scheme, but this, as you just laid out, his resume speaks for itself. And now the big question, I think the bigger question mark, their defense is good. 7 sacks on Josh Allen. They got to figure out what the hell's going on with Tua and that offense. And do they have a quarterback?
Yeah, that's a good question. Aaron Rodgers, reports are he's likely to be traded this offseason. Which means he's going to sign off on it because he's still owed a lot of money. And it also means that more than likely they're going to make Jordan Love, right, your starting quarterback, because remember they have to make a decision on his option year moving into next season. But, Mike, that is kind of where this is right now in a scenario that was kind of unlikely. Like, oh, they're not going to trade him. There's no way. Maybe both of these sides want to move on.
He told his buddy Pat McAfee this week that he's open to all honest and direct conversations with the Packers, and that a trade, quote, wouldn't offend me, and it wouldn't make me feel like a victim, end quote.
Randall Cobb, Mercedes Lewis, Alan Lazard, Mason Crosby, Aaron Jones. I'm just looking at their cap number. They're slated to have cap numbers of, what, $20 million? The Packers could save $10 million against the cap if they were to cut or trade the star running back. That's Aaron Jones. Listen, you're investing all this money in the quarterback. They're in a very similar position we were in where all of a sudden now you can't keep everybody.
Well, they went from 2 NFC championships appearances to a playoff exit and then this year not making the playoffs, and Aaron Rodgers throwing those picks to keep out of the playoffs. I mean, Christian Watson came on at the sort of middle part of the season as a big weapon, second-round pick. But the Jets, real quick, Chris, our resident producer, and not Mopey today, is a big Jets fan. The Jets' weapons, skill positions, if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets.
Yeah, so Breece Hall will be coming back at running back. They'll have Corey Davis at wide receiver. They have Elijah Wilson. I mean, they got a lot of good pieces over there.
Right, and a decent defense.
Yeah. We'll see. Jets, the destination, or at least that's the rumored destination. We'll see if it happens.
We have been talking about this. Carl makes fun because I'm always obsessed with the cap. And this is the year, finally, guys, we're out of cap hell with the Falcons. And the NFL announced earlier today that the record cap number for 2023 is up $16.6 million from this last season. Next year, guys, are starting now in the NFL year, which begins, what, March 1, we'll have $224.8 million in cap space. That's the new record per team. And if we move on from Mariota, I mean, we're going to have – I don't think we have as much as the Bears, but we're up there. We're going to be a major player in free agency just based on the NFL, the CBA, what you got to use, what, 89% of your cap space.
Yeah, it's 70-some-odd million now, and by the time you get past some of these cuts that are going to happen, you're talking upwards of 80 million or more. And how does that affect the overall number, Mike? How much more money does that give us? So you're right. I'm not sure what the exact number is. But
56 and change now, but with around 70 million, to your point.
It's going to give you some freedom and some leeway to do some things. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. We'll hand out game balls, no balls when we come back. And you know what? You already know who's getting a no balls. Every week, guys, as we count down to the Super Bowl, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. I said to start the show, it was the second greatest performance I think I've seen. And I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes. I didn't expect him to throw the ball 43 times yesterday. I didn't expect him to throw for over 300 yards.
They couldn't run the ball. Both teams really took the runaway.
I didn't expect him to be as good as he was in those clutch moments, Mike, and I didn't expect him to run for the biggest first down of the season and then get pushed out of bounds and set up the game-winning field goal. The point is, guys, he was not 100. He wasn't 90. He wasn't 80. I don't think he was 70%. You saw him limping during the game. But, Mike, to overcome that, right? We just kind of take it for granted. And Patrick Mahomes was special yesterday. And he's a special quarterback. There's just no doubt about it. I think he's the best player in the game. And yesterday it just proved more to me about what he means to the Chiefs and how good he is, man.
Now, he did look better than I think some people felt he would be. I know that the Chiefs were saying all the things during the week that, you know, he's getting treatment, yada, yada. I got to be honest. I mean, you could notice as the painkillers and whatever they were, however they did it, taping him up, as it wore off, you see the limp become more pronounced. He had a limp. He was there all week. But I thought he did a hell of – I mean, he exceeded my expectations as far as his performance. And then, as we said, being able to pick him up and put him down, it mattered most. Thanks. And then another 15 yards on top of that.
If they don't have him, they don't win. They just don't. I mean, I don't care what you can tell me about, you know, Heineke or whoever the backup was. They don't win that game yesterday without Patrick Mahomes. And he did it on one leg. Let's hand out some game balls, no balls. First, Jalen Hurts deserves a game ball. He has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league yesterday. And again, Mike, they're blowing everybody out. Like, they blew out the Giants. They blew out the 49ers. Are they this good, or is it that these other teams have not been good at all?
They're the total package. I mean, we said it. The general managers built this amazing team, but then the 49ers, all bets were off when Purdy hit the elbow and the ball came out, and that's all she wrote. And then, again, a journeyman quarterback that nobody even knew about was not going to get the job done. I mean, at one point, they had McCaffrey wearing the quarterback wristband out there trying yeah. to – they've been saying, and they put Purdy back out, and then all he could do was hand off. So the game was unfortunate, unless you're an Eagles fan. You get blind drunk, and then people are wrecking themselves afterwards at the just raging downtown on Broad Street and everything else. But it sucked. The game was terrible, and without Purdy, I think it basically shows the example of what Purdy means to this team and how you're going to build it around him moving forward and decide what you want to do with Trey. Lance Garoppolo's obviously gone.
Chad Henne's the backup for the Chiefs. I said Heineke. It doesn't matter. They don't win this game without Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Let's give Jalen Hurts a game ball.
Game balls.
I tried to, what you guys say, enjoy the moment, but my joy comes in winning. But I know the job isn't done, so.
Yeah, I mean, they started blowing doors when it was up 20. You felt once they got that second touchdown, there was no shot, no shot whatsoever. But the guy was making plays, and the throw. Now, again, the refs, hey, credit the Eagles getting up there, snapping the football, but that throw to Devontae Smith is beautiful.
It
I mean, puts the ball right there, man.
He's got a good deep ball, man. He really does.
You and I were on this guy.
He's been accurate. His deep ball is nice. Let's give a no balls. Joe Burrow, they did not make enough plays down the stretch. Burrow was good. He wasn't great yesterday. And even though I take him over pretty much everybody except Patrick Mahomes right now in the NFL, no balls to the Cincinnati Bengals.
No balls.
Yeah, these games are never going to be pretty. You just got to find ways. And, you know, it felt like that, you know, the tide was turning our way. I felt like we were going to, you know, just find a way to win this game. But, you know, like I said, didn't make the plays down the stretch.
You and I were talking about this off the air. I'll bring it on the air. Talking about the great job that the Chiefs defense did. And, you know, they're crushing it. Frank Clark, and we talked about, you know, all these guys just absolutely drawing heat on the quarterback. Had Buffalo had Von Miller, could they have done the same thing in Buffalo against the Bengals?
Yes.
Against that,
yes.
The two backups, three backups all together on the offensive line.
I absolutely believe so, Mike. This is why they went out and spent all this money on Von, right? It's unfortunate he got hurt. He's getting up there in his career. But this is why you pay the money to go get a guy like this that specializes in going and getting quarterback.
Right. I mean, Chris Jones, could Von Miller have done what Chris Jones did at Buffalo? Because Buffalo's got to be kicking themselves. Look, Burrow, he was out of sorts. Five sacks, he was not comfortable. And then if you notice, guys, all of a sudden they lose one of their receivers, and then they can only send two out because they got to have two running backs and max protection because they can't keep the Chiefs off his back. So he had two routes that he had to look at. That was it, and that's why you're wondering why weren't things happening offensively. Do you think that grounding call was legit?
No.
I thought in the, you know, in the playoffs, usually you get away with that.
Yeah. No, I saw the replay. I get it. You know, who was
there's a running back in the picture frame.
Correct. And I was going to say there was. And I'm thinking that's where, when I originally saw it play in real time, I was like, oh, he's trying to throw it to the running back and, you know, he's throwing it away. But, again, the officials way too much of the storyline right. yesterday. No doubt about it. It's Dukes and Bell. It's game balls, no balls. Let's hand out a game ball to Hassan Reddick. Now, this is a guy we've talked a lot about. Chuck came on last week, Chuck Smith, helping us break down offensive and defensive lines. And he was like, look, he's going to make plays. And yesterday during the game, he's like, guys, this sack record in the playoffs might be broke if the way the Eagles keep playing. Mm. They didn't get it. But Hassan Reddick sacking Josh Johnson, Mike, they got to the quarterback yesterday again. Game ball to the Eagles defense.
Game balls.
Johnson under center. On second down, Johnson fakes. He's back. Reddick's got him again. Another sack for Reddick down to the 10-yard line.
I mean, it was almost unfair at that point.
They were doing whatever they wanted.
I mean, it really was. Whoever was back there for the 49ers was like a pinata. And as we said, how many guys, you looked at the team, were you counting how many teams that dude had been on? It's like he's played in like the Arena League, World League, you name it, any league you can name, Carl, since this guy came in 2008. Same draft, fifth round pick, by the way. It was pretty interesting to see that. I know. At my party, people are going, who? Who is Josh Johnson? No, not that Johnson. No, different Johnson.
I'm looking at the Eagles yesterday. So Reddick had two. Hargrave had one. That D-line is stout, man. Right. It just is. All right,
and great secondary.
No doubt. They're loaded. Let's talk about handing out a no balls to Joseph Asai. He's the linebacker that pushes Patrick Mahomes out of bounds. If you've not seen it, Mike talked about it. There's footage of them going to the locker room and his teammates going, why would you do that? And they're screaming at him. Listen, there's a lot of healing that has to go on because you feel like you cost your team the game. But in that moment, man, you got to have some common sense and know I cannot push Patrick Mahomes when he's out of bounds. No balls.
No balls.
Mahomes trying to buy some time on that bad ankle. Moving to his right. He is now scrambling and he's going to get a first down. And now gets hit late. He gets hit late. He gets hit late. Mahomes gets hit late. It'll be a 15-yard penalty on top of the gain. And the gain should be bound to the 35-yard line.
Perfect field goal position.
If he doesn't hit him, and they don't get another playoff, but they would have had, about less than 10 seconds. They would have a chance to get closer with one more quick out. But if they don't advance the football, it's a 57-yard field goal.
Big difference, bro. Big difference. That's one that's going to hurt for a while. Let's hear the game-winning field goal because we know Harrison pretty well. Game ball.
Game balls.
Placement is down. Butker's kick is up. The spinning kick high, floating in the air. And it is good! Good!
Now, you know, by Harrison Butker's lofty standards, he struggled at times this year on some of his longer field goals. So this was a nice turnaround. He definitely got it dialed in down the stretch. And the winning kick from a Georgia Tech kicker, to your point.
Yeah, no doubt. He's here in town a lot in the offseason. People run into him all the time. Really nice guy, man. But going back to the Super Bowl with the Chiefs. All right, Brock Purdy, not his fault. But we got to give him no balls, Mike, because after the injury, they couldn't even throw a quick out. They couldn't do anything. You couldn't throw the ball vertically, so all of a sudden the offense became a lateral offense.
Right.
You're not outrunning the Eagles, so they couldn't move the football. No balls. Purdy comes back. They can't move it.
No balls.
I've been throwing after the hit occurred on the sideline just to see where I was at. But even in those throws, it was painful, and so I couldn't throw anything probably over 10 yards, 5 yards. That's why we just had some screens. Those were really our only option when I went back in.
So we won't get like a Tommy John type thing. It just heals up apparently for throwing a football. We were talking about that with Bo, our producer, Squid Billy. Just tough. And I don't know if you guys saw, they captured this on the Fox cameras, is Shanahan's face talking to him and realizing he can't go back. I mean, everything goes out the window. And I will say this. It was 7-7. McCaffrey had a beautiful run.
That's
shook,
right.
Shook a couple of tacklers and busted to the end zone. And if you take away, had they had a chance to maybe not get the touchdown, but they didn't. They were up to – it wasn't a catch. Refs missed it. But, again, it was only after 3 or 4 different angles. And by that time, the Eagles had snapped the ball. I'm just saying, before the Purdy, I'm not trying to live in a parallel universe. It could have been tighter. Could have been at least we could have gotten into the second half before the Eagles would have dropped the hammer, but not the case.
If I know you can't throw – and by the way, I don't know what the Eagles knew. You could tell, though, yeah. Right, as the game played out.
Yeah.
I don't need my safeties 20 yards back because you guys aren't throwing the ball. We're going to stack the box. All that Debo reverse running McCaffrey, that's gone.
Well, it's 3rd and 14, and you're running to draw play because it's all you can do. Yeah. And not even a draw play. You're just running McCaffrey off tackle because you can't do anything else.
So it's one of those situations that, of course, Purdy would want back. The 49ers would want back. It's just what it is. And, again, not his fault, but, boy, I expected the 49ers to play a lot better. Defense, Mike, can only keep you in a game for so long when your offense can't be on the field for lengthy periods of time. They couldn't sustain any drives whatsoever. No. And at that point, your defense now is getting tired. The Eagles are taking advantage of you.
Right. And as we said earlier, Garoppolo guy's a free agent. They brought him back. You can say that they can continue to develop Trey Lance. And if Purdy, if by chance, doesn't come back from this and isn't 100% with his elbow by the time camp opens, maybe you bring a veteran in there. But, yeah, all of a sudden, the entire – everything that was such a feel-good story for San Fran went right out the window.
Coming up in less than 30 minutes, what happened in Big D? We're going to talk about it as part of our dog report. Also, it's a big week, Senior Bowl this week, and our Falcons staff is going to be there. We'll be talking about to a bunch of people down there checking out players because there'll be some diamonds in the rough, guys. There'll be players you know, but then there'll be some other players that will rise. Their stock will rise this week. We'll get to that coming up in less than 30 minutes. But when we come back, Yeah Man, No Man's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Keep your hands off my Monken. Apparently, he's interviewing for jobs in the NFL.
No, no!
We are going to talk about it as part of our dog report coming up in less than 20 minutes. Also, what happened in Dallas? It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Lots of discussion today. Appreciate all the comments. Steven hit us up on social media. He says, Dukes, do we know if Fontenot had anything to do with scouting Davenport? He heard me talk about why I don't want Davenport. It's not hate. It's facts. And I don't know. Listen, he was in charge of pro, not college scouting.
Yeah, if you remember when he was hired, part of the description was more about bringing in those key veterans and doing it on a budget because the Saints were always, you guys remember, always up against the cap, and he was more about bringing in pro free agents. So that would be more on Mickey Loomis and his scouting department, you could argue, potentially.
All right. The other tweet comes our way and says, King Beef, that's his Twitter handle. He says, Dukes, you can't put this on Joe Burrow. The O-line was subpar. They were on him like flies on blank. We knew this. They did. They took the same offensive line to Buffalo, which is what right. Mike was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, could Von Miller have had the same kind of impact? I don't know, but they had max protection, and you had one or two guys going down the field, and they just couldn't make things happen. And Burrow got sacked 5 times. He was uncomfortable, but this was a superior defense that hurt all week. And again, guys, as fired up as the Bengals were about the Buffalo thing here in Atlanta, these guys heard about Burrowville. You heard all the guys going off. You heard those dudes, man. That came from the heart.
And last but not least, Mike Carmen, before we get to Yeah Man, No Man, says Dukes and Bell, speaking of the weather being depressing, January is actually considered the saddest month of the year.
Oh.
So glad February is around the corner with a smiley face.
Right, right.
So, Carmen, I did not know that, but if it's like this, I understand why that would be the case. All right, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder.
All right, Bo. Hope you had a great weekend. What's going on today?
Yeah, there's something about the month of January with, like, the holidays ending and then the weather's cold and people just kind of get, you know, kind of down in your dumps. But it's – I thought the holidays made some people sad. So does that mean that they're happy in January and the people that were happy in December are now sad in January? I don't get it.
Just the rain. It's just been, like, so Seattle-y. You know, just that's why, you know, just bleh, gray and bleh. So hopefully we'll get some sunshine and get out there and have some fun, man. Just right now, looking out, it's just bleh.
Now, somebody had told me years ago that we actually get as much rain as Seattle, but it doesn't happen the way it does there, which is where you get more drizzly-type days, right, where we get rain, where you get 2 inches. And then, you know, it's a little while before we get more. But the point is, if you look on average, we get about as much rain as they do. I don't know if that's necessarily true. That was told to me years ago. But either way, Bo, I'm with you. I just want the sun. The sun will come out tomorrow.
Well, not this week. It's going to be crappy all week, according to the weatherman.
All right.
Yeah, it's supposed to get better this weekend. It's just going to be cold. We can still go on the golf course, though. It'll be wet and cold, which is what January – that's what it's been all January.
Thank you, Chris.
The Empire State Building – last night, lit up green after the Eagles won the NFC Championship game. Now, mind you, the Empire State Building is in what city, Michael?
New York.
Yeah. Who is the Giants, what, one of their biggest rivals?
Eagles.
Yes. And the Giants are the football team of?
New York.
Yeah. So, a lot of people were killing them.
Some people, there was like actually photos of people storming the, not storming, but there was about 2 dozen people walked into the Empire State Building. Why the hell are you showing up green and white lights?
That ended up being a hoax. Right. That was just a picture taken that someone tried to attach. Right. But it's kind of like when someone put out there that Stetson Bennett police cam was released and it was really Baker Mayfield from like 7 years ago when he got tackled.
I told you about that. They're hitting the wall.
It just makes me laugh, though. Yeah. I mean, the idea of Baker Mayfield running from the cops.
Well, you know. It's a lot like what he did in Carolina. Was this crap by the Empire State Building? Should they have not lit up?
Was this in cahoots with networks in New York? The TV coverage for Fox would show the green and white lights after the game was over?
You tell me.
I don't know. I think
you're selling your soul to the devil if you do that.
Did they show red and white lights later when Kansas City won?
They apparently did at some point. But so would you have an issue if what is it? The Batman Building, where we have right here in Atlanta. If that lit up black and gold, if the Saints
Spalding Building right here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the
Bank of America.
Yeah, the one you said you can see it from Georgia Tech's stadium. It's like the Batman Building. It's got the Batman little wing. Would you have an issue if that was black and gold?
Yes.
If the Saints had went to the Super Bowl.
Of course I would. Yes, we'd have a problem with it.
But if I was in New York and I got a buzz going, I'm like, oh, they must be happy about the Jets or something.
Yes, because the Jets always give you something to be happy about in January.
It's got a nice tribute to the Jets here in the middle of January, which is unusual.
It is weird, but let's get to the bottom of this. It's Yeah Man, No Man, Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Was this in connection with the networks? Is that why they did
that
this?
That has not been released. But I think they got such a backlash that they decided, hey, let's light it up for red and just play it off that, look, we did it with Kansas City, too.
Well, I wouldn't like it. I'm with you, Bo.
Because they tweeted about it, too.
Yeah, right? I wouldn't like it. Especially, listen, in New York, it's very similar in the sense, right, Mike, of being like Philly. You're not rooting for these other teams out of your city.
No.
So, either way, it's weird. But, yeah, I would not go for that. If any of our buildings in Atlanta were to light up with the Saints going to the Super Bowl, I'd have a problem with it.
All right, last night on the beginning of the CBS broadcast to the AFC Championship game, they had, you know, all these networks do little intros. Well, CBS has decided that they were going to use Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network, and I think he was on, like, Real World or something at one point in time. And they were going to use him for their intro. And they went with a interesting Martin Scorsese theme. Chris?
All right, I'll see you later. Thanks. As far back as they can remember, every player always wanted to be a champion. Thing is, you got to find a way in. The margin of error in the playoffs is so thin, it can liquefy in the field with just a little turmoil. It's a very good system. How you doing, Gino? Everybody else has to live out the offseason like a schnook. You order a conference title and a Super Bowl run, you lay an egg and spend the offseason playing catch-up. You too. Every time I come in here, you too. Don't you lose?
That's Patty the Chucker. And he's got Travis the Dancer, who's Philly Center's brother. Meanwhile, they got beef with Joey Two Times, who got that name because he does everything twice. Like, I'm going to go win an arrowhead. Win an arrowhead.
I love, I mean, I'm like, I'm Sopranos is my favorite, Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies. I love it. I thought that was great. I like that Kyle Brandt's not everybody's cup of tea. I get a kick out of him on Good Morning Football.
He's fun. And I love the creativity. You got to get my attention and do something different. Right. I'm fine with it. I enjoyed it as well. As a matter of fact, Bo, to be honest, buddy of mine hit me up and said, did you see that? And I went, no, what are you talking about? I didn't see it originally, but I was recording it, so I went back and watched it. I loved it. I thought it was a cool intro.
Yeah, I didn't see it originally either. We went and watched the first game at someone's house, and we got back home, and so I missed the intro part. I loved it.
Was it your neighbor?
No, it wasn't my neighbor, but thanks for asking, Nosy. if it was my neighbor, I would have just stayed.
And for younger members of our audience who perhaps have not seen Goodfellas, I'm guessing Chris hasn't either, there's this famous scene at the Copacabana, one of the great Steadicam shots of all time, where Scorsese is following the Ray Liotta character, Henry Hill, taking Karen on a date and getting treated like a rock star. And that was what the spoof is. They walk through the stadium and the doors open and they make all the references to the teams and the players.
I have seen Goodfellas.
Oh, good for you.
Why'd you stand up for yourself? Why's your mic on so much this segment? This is my time. All right. But I saw people killing it, you know, just saying it was too much. You know, like, everyone on Twitter is a literal, like, a radio and a TV and a media producer. They're all officials, which, by the way, speaking of being an official expert, the entire day yesterday was an embarrassment for the league. Should they stop with these all-star crews? Because if you don't know, the NFL takes a referee, and then they take referees that graded out well, and they mix and match these crews. Now, half these crews are bad anyway, so they shouldn't be mixing and matching. Shouldn't they just keep the guys together because they have that continuity where they're not afraid to do those things? Because both games were horrid, including the Skyhawk official in the Philly game.
Yeah, I said this yesterday on Twitter. I just thought, and we started the show talking about it, I know Major League Baseball uses the best umps, but guess what? The ball's fair or it's foul, okay? You have all these judgment calls, pass interference, what's holding. You could technically call holding every play in the NFL. They don't. There's a lot of judgment calls. Some guys allow things to go. Some refs, as we said, Carl, allow more contact in the playoffs, like in hockey. Now, in the NBA, they cobble together all-star crews also. But the NBA has a review system, and you have challenges when the refs screw things up. And they use it properly, unlike the NFL. So to Squidbilly's point, when you got a bunch of guys you don't know, Carl, if it's you and you got a crew you've been working with all season long, maybe 1 through 7, they're not the best, but you got 4 or 5 guys, you can read his mind, they had conferences, it was confabs, and nobody wants to show up a guy you don't normally work with in the season. That's my feeling on it. That's what I thought added to too many flags.
Too many flags. And Bo, I don't know how the league is going to look at this. They have to. They will. But it doesn't, as we always say, change anything as far as the outcome of the game.
But a tight game like that, it comes matters. Down to the,
it matters. No doubt about it.
Oh, I think, absolutely. By the way, the first touchdown in the Philadelphia game was off a play set up that wasn't a catch that the Skyhawk official should have caught. That does affect the game. The block, you have a player blocked into the punter, which is not roughing the punter. You throw not the 5-yard variety, but the 15-yard variety. All those, no game is decided by one play. It's a multitude of plays that lead up to decide the outcome of a game, especially a close one. Now, in reality, Philadelphia would have won, I think, no matter what. Because
there was no hope for San Fran once Purdy got knocked out.
Did they have the easiest path to a Super Bowl ever?
Well, we didn't know that, but yeah. I mean, listen, you thought they were better than the Giants. You thought this would be a closer, harder-fought game. But you're winning. Your opponent scores a total of 14 points in a division and NFC championship game. Like, that's combined score of the Giants and the 49ers? Yes. This is what I said. I don't know if they've been tested. I don't know if they are going to be able to win a close game if the Chiefs are able to score on that defense and they're fighting for their lives, because that has not how they lived. They are just blowing everybody out. And as I said to Mike, maybe they're just this good.
Well, if I told you in 2023, January of 2023, the quarterback would be going to the Super Bowl, who threw for less than 300 yards in the entire playoffs,
right?
He would tell me I'm bat blank crazy and to shut up and turn my mic off.
I would tell you that, yes.
I hope not on the air, though.
No, I would not.
No, but it's a great point. I mean, we just talked about the new Jack quarterback. In this case, they didn't have to ask Jalen. Remember Jalen Hurts' shoulders? He had 2 more weeks to heal up that shoulder, which still wasn't 100%. He still dropped that dime into Devontae Smith. Catch or no catch. It was a hell of a throw.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah. All right. As always, Yeah Man No Man is brought to you by the Fire Shire from the W Sauce, which is bigger, better, bolder, and now spicier. Get over to WSauce.com. Find a retailer near you. You can also find it on Amazon. And don't forget, we saw Joe on Friday at the Buckhead Butcher Shop. My buddy Joe and all the friends at the Georgia Hemp Company. Go to GeorgiaHempCompany.com. Use the code SQUIBBILLY10. You'll get 10% off your order today. Turtle, now you can hit my music.
And by the way, the 17 year, they had the Philly special to beat the Patriots. That was a 41-33 finish. But they smoked Minnesota. Remember the Saints? They had the pass of the no-catch, or I should say the defensive back blew it for the Saints. So they got Minnesota. They beat them 38-7. Their closest game next to the Super Bowl was us, of course, at 15-10. The catch, no-catch with Julio. We really did a great job defensively that year against Philly in Philly. Drove me nuts.
It's mind-boggling. It really is. Coming up, we'll talk about the dog, Stetson Bennett. What were you thinking? It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.